This is a recording that we aired in one of our shows back in April 2020.
Which feels like a decade ago, but that's 4 years ago.
Go back to lockdown. They happened all over the world. It probably happened where you are. You remember when people would go out on their balconies and clap for the nurses, for anyone working at that point in time, sacrificing themselves, going above and beyond the call of duty for the common good. They were being heroized, these occupations. People were being made heroes. It was a wonderful, warm feeling that we got.
Yeah. Solidarity, support, admiration. I mean, it was the long hours they were putting in, working till they dropped, but then also at the time, it's
subjecting themselves to the SARS-CoV-2 virus.
Yeah, novel coronavirus. We didn't know. We know so much more now. Back then, we weren't sure exactly what that was going to do to the human body and how destructive it would be. Mm. There were good reasons to do it. There were good reasons to say thank you and we admire you and your heroes.
There was no way to know, listening to that clapping, that might not be as good as it feels. That maybe even that it's harmful.
Science Unscripted.
Thank you for having me. My name is Dr. Matthew Stanley. I am a postdoc at Duke University in the business school, where I teach ethics. And I have recently done some research on the heroization of certain occupations and the consequences of heroizing them, specifically in terms of exploitation and funneling them into certain kinds of occupations. I live in a less dense area of the country, a smaller town in the United States. It's a little bit more spread out. So the way that people sort of goad their appreciation and support was largely through yard signs. So thank you, heroes, yard signs. Everybody in the neighborhood had one, at least one. Some had several. And that was usually how things worked here.
So your research, there's a lot of complexity to it. But if there's a single takeaway, a single conclusion, what is it exactly about heroization of an occupation and the consequences of that?
When we refer to people, entire groups, entire occupations as heroes, it makes us think about them in a sort of superhuman way, as people who are just extraordinarily resilient and selfless and courageous, and they're capable of doing just about anything. And they're the kinds of people who would willingly volunteer. In our minds, they're people who would willingly volunteer for working more hours under more difficult conditions, and maybe even for worse pay, right? And so because of that, people tend to be less opposed to their poor treatment in the workplace. They tend to be less opposed to their exploitation because they're the kinds of people who can absolutely do it, right? And they're the kinds of people who would volunteer for it.
How did you find this out? How did you conduct your study? Because that is a phenomenal takeaway that you just gave us. How'd you get to it?
Great question. So we used naturalistic stimuli, the most naturalistic stimuli that we could find. So posters, mugs, images of these people, these groups being heroized. So clip art of military personnel with capes, teachers with capes and superhero attire, those sorts of things. And it turns out that exposure to this kind of material tends to make people think that these are the kinds of people who would willingly volunteer for their own exploitation. And then ultimately it makes people a little less opposed to their exploitation in the world.
So these people are being primed, or the participants in the study, to hero-wise, teachers, doctors, nurses, and members of the military. And then you ask them what exactly?
Yeah, so the next question that we asked was whether or not they thought that group members would be the kinds of people who would willingly volunteer for working longer hours without any additional pay or compensation or reward, getting people to think about these others in this way as these kinds of people who would volunteer for this worst treatment. That makes people less opposed ultimately down the line to their actual worst treatment. So they express less opposition to policy that would actually require these people to be treated worse in the world.
When you were doing the study, I'm kind of trying to think of a counterexample or a control group, something where you might also take participants in the study and prime them to hero-wise occupations that really aren't heroic, like where people don't have that concept. I'm thinking, I don't know, somebody on a fishing boat, right? Nobody would say that's a hero. Somebody on an oil rig, somebody in doing agriculture, we don't hero-wise those...
How about podcasters?
Yeah, those those professions. And I'm wondering, yeah, did you take a look at a control group or whether the effect always holds with every occupation or how did you do it?
Yeah, we have looked at other groups that typically aren't heroized, and to see if we get the same sorts of effects, right? As it turns out, you don't. So you only get these effects for groups for which that hero stereotype already exists. It's already sort of culturally prevalent. It's already out there, right? So people know it's out there that healthcare workers are heroized. People call them heroes. It's a label. It's a stereotype that's attached to them. And so we get the effects for those kinds of people for whom the label already exists. It's already out there in the culture. But if you try to, I guess to bring it close to my home, people don't think of academics as heroes, rightly so. And so if you were to try to suggest that academics were in fact heroes, you're not going to get these same effects because people just don't actually believe that they are heroes, right? You need people to believe to start that they are heroic to some extent, right? And it can't be everybody. It's not going to be everybody, right? But that stereotype needs to exist in the culture to start as sort of a precondition for these effects.
Should we stop doing this? Is it a harmful thing to call someone a hero or to thank someone profusely for volunteer work or what? What is your research? Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry to jump in, but yeah. Like, or can you combine it with like, they're a hero who deserves more money always or less
or
work?
Every time I thank someone, give them like a 5 spot on the side or.
Oh, slip it. Yeah. It single-handedly solve the whole issue yourself with your own wallet.
It's genuinely a good question. And I don't entirely know what the answer is. My big worry in all of this is that, when we refer to these people as heroes, when we show appreciation for them in this sort of way, in this without really adding anything to it, it makes people sort of complacent, right? It makes people think that they've done enough. They've thanked these people in this outsized way. And then they're just sort of less concerned, generally speaking, about the other things that really affect them at work, the actual struggles that they experience. They think that they've done their part, right? So the worry, I guess, is that this can be somewhat distracting in a way, and distract people away from like the actual struggles and the actual difficulties and the actual problems that people in these fields face.
Is another alternative? I don't know why, but I'm thinking of teachers here. One of the most common professions in every country. Most people know someone who teaches. To think of them differently, speak of them differently. These are human beings who wake up in the morning because their alarm goes off. And then they go to work and they teach and then they go home because it's a job that pays them money, you know? I mean, I hope they get joy out of it. I hope they're motivated. But is it better to just stop, to call out jobs as what they are, a salary for a lot of people, maybe the majority of people, and not much more, a way to make ends meet and to fund your vacations and your life?
Yeah, so we actually have some recent work. It's not published yet, but we have some work where we interview teachers and military veterans, and we ask them what they think of the hero label, whether or not they want to be called heroes, and whether or not they think that label is actually a burden. What we actually end up finding is that people who work in these professions, teachers, military personnel, veterans, they tend to appreciate others appreciating them. But they also would prefer, most of them would prefer not to be called heroes. And lots of them actually see that hero label as a burden, right? So they're experiencing it as a burden. It's not really something that they want. This is the most people, not all people, but most people that we've actually interviewed. So if you ask the people who actually work in these professions, I think what they would say often is that they don't really want the label. They don't want to be called heroes. And if you ask them how it is that people can show better appreciation for them or the public can show better appreciation for them, often they'll say things like, it'd be nice to have more resources. It'd be nice to have better pay. It'd be nice to have better benefits, things like that, things that everybody wants and needs, right? So that's often what they appeal to.
That was Matt Stanley speaking to us from the green pastures of Duke University located in Durham, North Carolina.
Yeah. And he reminded me of
this one hits home. Your mom is a teacher. My dad is a teacher. My mom was a registered nurse at a hospital.
What about the woman you're married to?
My, oh,
She's a teacher.
She's not listening.
Oh, but okay.
She's, my wife's a teacher. My mom's a registered nurse working at a hospital. Quit her job because of, back then they didn't call it burnout, but now you would probably call it burnout. Was stressed out constantly throughout my entire childhood, stressed out. So she probably knows firsthand what's going on here.
Right. Yeah.
You know, what's behind the curtain with heroism or heroization is what's on stage, and behind the curtains, it's stress and just, you're being emotionally drained on a daily basis. But you have to eat that. Oh, thank you for going above and beyond. Thank you so much. Yeah, I know what Matt's talking about here.
Well, I think it's fair to say that unless you have signed a contract that explicitly states that you are happy and willing to work overtime unpaid, that it shouldn't, in general, that shouldn't be the case. Overtime is overtime that you should be paid for, and especially if it's a publicly funded job. Then the expectation should be that there are the work hours, and then you stop, and that you get to enjoy the other parts of your life as well. What this discussion, right in the middle of it, I hadn't thought about this for years. I was working construction jobs during college to pay for tuition, because tuition was very expensive, and I was delivering drywall, and there was this guy Luis that I got along with really well. He was a good worker, and he suddenly announced he was leaving, and he was joining the U.S. military. And why did Luis join the U.S. military? It's because I think like 2 weeks earlier, he showed up.
He wanted to be an American hero?
He showed up in the parking lot. He pulled in this shiny, absolutely gigantic pickup truck. Everyone was sitting around admiring this. Whoa!
Yeah.
And everyone knew deep down, or the question that nobody dared ask was, how did you afford this? And the answer was he couldn't. And so he looked at the numbers, and somehow the numbers led him to join the U.S. military. That's why he joined, was to pay off a I think he ended up selling the truck at a loss, obviously, because he'd driven it off the lot and joined the U.S. military. It's for a lot of people, a lot of these heroized professions, you know, being a part of the military, people are doing it probably in the majority of the cases for practical reasons.
For the money.
Yeah.
For the perks.
Yeah. And it may be combined with or start off as something that's a really passionate endeavor. I tend to think of teachers there. I know teachers. My older sister is a teacher. My sister-in-law is a teacher. And there is some passion there. There's a desire to do it. But it's also, it's a job. It's a job that you show up and you are checking what the benefits are and how much the salary is.
For the people listening, any nurses, teachers, military personnel, anyone who has insights to share on what your life was like or what your career is like right now and what it feels like if you have ever been called a hero or thanked publicly for your service that goes above and beyond, what does that feel like? Let us know at seodw.com.